Going live in 5, 4, 3.
Unlace those pantaloons and grab a fistful of ankle. We're greased up like a Sunday dock and ready to...
This is Reality Checks with Con and Dex, and we're coming in hot. We got hot gossip and hotter goslings.
Brought to you by Foul Plate Gastropub, the hollow-boned home of the triple-stuffed, slow-roasted, maple bourbon-glazed Valkegelhawk.
When a void cove opened up in Tallulah Baker's basement filled to the brim with squawking meat, she did the only thing she could.
When life gives you chickens,
you roast the fuckers.
And speaking of roasting, the Baron of Strathic, known for his quick wit and quicker exits, made a crack about the missing arm of the Duchess of Strafe during the Barony Ball at Fort Mauallach. He was out the door before the Baron of Axbury could bury his axe in this jester's ass. Even though, according to the eyewitnesses, the Duchess herself couldn't stop laughing at the gag.
You hear the one about the market price of duck feathers? I guess down is up.
Speaking of duck, maybe you should check your schedule in the L'Orange sometime to come down to Foul Plate.
Ugh, L'Orange a time?
No wrong answers in improv, Dex. Which brings us to the Q&A. Are you guys dating?
No.
Do you want to?
No.
I fancy the ladies myself.
And I fancy pants.
And you're giving me shit for Duck all L'Orange?
Only because it gave me the shits.
You shouldn't talk that way about our sponsor, Dex.
Look, just because some bird-brained biddy paid me in pelican marsala doesn't mean I'm going to stop being me. You buy the decks, you get the...
Well, go on. I'm waiting.
You buy the decks.
You lose your checks.
Close enough.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's Journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's Journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Your rendezvous site deprives you of the glorious, verdant vistas that you've come so accustomed to. Instead, you stand in a clearing that was forcibly made for you by the denizens of Polyphemus. Nature abhors a vacuum, and you can already see as that very nature begins to creep in at the edges. You had been given a week to acquire the primordial core. That week has elapsed.
So, you weren't born. You're built. Grown?
If you really think about it, all of us are built in one way and born in another.
Look, where I like the poetry of what you're saying, I cannot agree with you.
I am of the earth that we stand upon and the trees whose air we breathe.
All right. So if we take you from here, do we need to, like, bring a bag of dirt or something to make you, you know, nice and healthy while you grow?
To be honest, I had never considered leaving this place. But where the heart goes, I shall follow.
Do you have a heart?
What you see on the outside carries through to the core.
Ah, so he wears his heart on his sleeve.
I'd like to use my Sin Eater profession. I want to use Insight to try and see if I can glean his intentions, his desires. Fucking, I honked it up. That's like a 10.
You pick up on loads of wholesome innocence. And very little foresight regarding what will happen in the next 5 seconds.
From her small stature, Lita gets uncomfortably close. Where's the outhole?
More than you can count and too small to see.
Oh, I thought the heart question was fucking invasive, but damn, Lydda.
Where is Troth's voice coming from?
It seems
the outhole.
A cacophony of tiny voices.
It seems to resonate from his neck region and is amplified by the shape of his large mushroom cap.
Forget about the outhole. Where's the inhole?
You're so single-minded when it comes to holes. Some can be both.
Look, I have both holes, and I make plenty of use of both.
Every surface of my membrane can be an in or out hole. I just choose to use what is historically acceptable.
That's disgusting.
Hey.
Six in, two out, like Gob intended.
Generally, I'd say the thing I'm most concerned about when it comes to in and out holes is historicity. I appreciate your attention to detail.
This might be the most uncomfortable line of questioning I've ever been around personally. And not to rain on the parade here, but like, look, as long as neither of you shite on my ship, we'll be fine.
Does that apply to me as well? Because I could squeeze one off over the gunwale, but I don't think you're going to like it.
They get a choice. We don't.
Right.
I believe now it would be customary for me to ask questions of you.
Hey, please don't ask about poop holes.
Not of interest.
Good.
What are your intentions for the heart?
Yours?
To guide it and guard it wherever it goes.
I was talking about yours.
Oh. My heart is now bound to this one, he says, gesturing to the core in his hand.
No. Not trying to come off as, perhaps, insensitive. Thoughtless. But,
Too late.
All right, fair. But I think we need that to get from point A to point wherever we need to go.
It's going to get utilized, son, just like you.
Explore the vast, wide distances of fuck knows where.
He points one of his fingers up
to the skies, the heavens.
To the skies and beyond.
This is great news.
Right there with you.
The heart sings to return to the beyond, from whence it came.
Oh.
Hearing his excitement, Lydda puts her wrench back down.
I've never... my people have never seen anybody so excited to be exploited.
The two greatest callings of my life came from the very heavens. The first when I was first woven. A chunk of land crashed into the earth far to the north. A structure of a foreign world. And inside I found paintings and books of an old forgotten history, chunks of something lost, of great knights riding into battle with valor, guarding their lieges, telling noble stories of their deeds. And I found my calling. The next, most recently, when the heart plummeted like a purple arrow from the heavens and pierced the land. It drew me to its light. It sings to me as it resonates. It is my liege.
Darlu is enraptured with everything that was just coming out of Troth's mouth, particularly interested in the phrase, the heart crashing like a purple arrow. He perks up as much as he can and settles into a generally excited state once you're done talking. You know, never been a fan of chunks, but I love everything else you're saying.
How will you use the heart to seek the heavens?
Now that's a question right there. I don't actually know how to use one of those things.
Not many do. Typically, it's only mechanics. And even then, most of the time, it's only those who've been given special permission to have the knowledge.
Lydda, do you have permission?
Machines are no complicated than nature. You just put the rod in the hole and it works out in the end. But besides, permissions never stopped me before.
Well, there's a difference between kitbashing what you've already found and building yourself an original caller. It's a thing. Basically, they got to find a way to focus the energy into this ship. That's our next task.
Hey, I've built a ship. I know how to do it.
Now, by ship, what exactly do you mean?
Many emotions cross over Lydda's face as you ask that. Never mind. It's none of your business.
And I have never seen a herd as strangely assembled as the four of you. What is it that drew you together? Why do you move as one?
Money.
Mostly money.
Duty, respect, a greater calling.
But it's all the same thing that draws us to use you. Exploitation of the resources.
These are words that I understand. You will have to tell me of this money.
Knowledge, where I come from, is money. And none exploit knowledge like the Nuddites.
I'll give that to you. What did you have? They wouldn't have come to your island if you didn't have something for them.
That is correct.
You notice he uses the non-personal pronoun they.
It's as if they take value in going where they're not supposed to go. That's why they build ships. That's why the heart has found its way to your world.
They're the have-nots. They're looking to be the haves. You're a have. So what did you have?
A place in our own small universe. Ignorance.
It's like talking to a horoscope.
Money's a construct. But then again, some of my favorite things are constructs.
The constructs you speak of as you wear on your shell are woven by mortal hands. And I am a construct of the living earth, fueled with anima as blood runs through your veins. So I have gathered, based on your looks and the way you speak, each of you is from a herd of your own. Well, if your ambitions are to take the heart somewhere far from here, I shall come with you and learn of your herds and see the mysteries of the beyond. Looking upwards towards the heavens, a twinkle in his dead black eyes.
You're the first. I've had a choice in joining the crew, and I'd be a fool to turn you away.
My first hire.
Now you just got to make sure you get the paperwork right.
Rarely do raiders have paperwork.
As you say that, a loud crack can be heard off in the distance. In the sky, a ship has appeared. A large, heavy wood and steel construct that begins to descend into the lower atmosphere of this particular island.
Troth has his spear and shield out as they're ready for combat.
The beast returns!
And look how good they are at trespassing.
Despite its impressive aesthetic, it is a rather small vessel. Some of you recognize it as a tug ship. It is drawing a vessel that many of you have not seen yet.
Inniscarish vessels are not wide, but long. Built with two curling posts on the front and back, the fore and aft. A single mast sits in the middle, with all sails drawn up and rope binding it in place. The front of the vessel has a small triangular landing, big enough for one person to stand on and look for hopeful shores. The vessel's rear has a similar platform, but square and large enough for more than one person, sat atop a small structure that looks vaguely like a house. These raider ships try to be prepared for all possible outcomes and scenarios, complete with what is essentially a raisable umbrella on the sides. More canvas attached to the gunnels and sides that can be drawn up toward the mast to create either a shroud of mystery or secrecy, hiding the number of people on board, or protect you from inclement weather. Though being very much of the design of Daralu's people, it appears to be brand new and made of living wood.
That vessel. I recognize its make. It is of those born from the seeds of the earth.
Aye, and about as scarlet as they come.
I feel a warm connection to this creature.
I do too. Good thing we're about to spend a long time on it.
That thing? Ugh, why would you want a ship made out of wood? It's not even ether dynamic. You want to round the front for ramming and put the cargo in the back.
You're describing a barrel.
No, I'm describing a proper ether ship. Well, when I'm done with it, it'll be in tip-top shape. Don't you worry.
I'm worried.
As it descends into the lower atmosphere of Nidrasil, you get a better look at the ship that's drawing it. It currently flies a League flag above a Badger atop a Laurel. It is not uncommon for League ships to fly the League seal above all others. As it nestles to the ground, your ship is released. Then, a portion of the gunwale slides to the side, and a gangplank is lowered.
Beast or not, here's a ride.
The man that exits looks as though he is perhaps 19 years old, extraordinarily lanky, and riddled with psoriasis. He also bears a mustache that is wildly disproportionate with both his age and his face. Large and strawberry blonde and twirled up with wax, it seems to be the most masculine thing about him.
He's like the same age as Darla.
He's carrying a stack of paperwork, and he steps down and hails you nearer. Welcome to the League of Ultimate Questing. He reaches into his pocket and pulls out a paper cracker and lets her rip. A small amount of confetti goes flying around, and there's a paper crown that drops to the ground and immediately gets dampened with dew.
So definitely not a raider. Too much paperwork.
I think we're safe.
He drops the remains of the paper cracker. He holds out a piece of paper to you. Here's your receipt of vessel. What letter comes after H?
I?
Your affirmation will act as transfer of liability and acknowledgement of the vessel was received, in working order and without damage or alteration. Here's your title indeed.
Thank you. Furthermore, you're a cheeky fuck.
This is your primordial core stewardship agreement. Sign here, here, and initial here. This waives the League of all liability regarding incident and events surrounding the primordial core. By signing, you take full responsibility for all acts committed by and aboard this League vessel.
Without hesitation, Darla will sign.
That's a very pretty signature.
Thank you. I've never written before.
Misuse of property bearing the League seal can carry void prison sentences of up to 1 millennium. Here is a list of League-approved shipwrights to contact for your primordial core install. He hands you basically a contact sheet.
I am going to pass that sheet over to Lydda and the pen and say, write your name on it.
Lydda quickly scrawls her name, running past both of them onto the ship. And despite all of her earlier protests, immediately just flattens herself against the deck like a starfish, face down. It's okay, baby. They can't hurt you anymore. I'm going to take real good care of you.
Out of curiosity, what does goblin writing look like?
Lydda's signature looks like a pictogram of a wrench, a bag, and a butt. The butt isn't part of her name. It's a bonus.
It's a goblin exclamation.
After installation, you can report to any League officer participating League Tavern for assignment or bulletin, and may, at your own discretion, accept any quests within the central cluster for which you feel you are qualified. Please note that within League space, verbal contracts are legally and cosmically binding. The League does not accept any liability for injury, death, or existential consequence incurred during non-League quests.
Fine, fine, I understand. Get on with it.
All this to say that you should be responsible for your own actions.
You'd be surprised what people do when you don't have paperwork.
You might be.
Travel outside the central cluster is not advised until you've achieved hero rank and until your core has achieved unity with your ship. He gives Troth a bit of a eyebrow raise.
What is this gesture? Do they wish to fight?
I think he's telling you not to do what Lydda's doing right now.
Your rank of novice grants you partial diplomatic immunity against crimes committed in pursuit of any official League quest. Note that these protections are severely limited, and until you have achieved champion rank, it is not advised to rely upon them. We're on Nidrasil right now. What's the name of the other main continent?
Nod.
This verbal affirmation concludes our interaction. Welcome to the League of Ultimate Questing. We wish you luck. He turns around, climbs the gangplank, and the ship takes off.
Everybody has to find their fun somewhere.
Twice. Twice he tricked me. Twice. Fucker. I knew the second one was coming. I ain't never heard of no thanes who weren't willing to take responsibility for their dead. But if this is what I need to do to be Bad Flatha, fine. Look, I got my own talk before we go on the ship, and it's short and sweet. And I know Lydda's already on the ship, but it still applies to her. Once we're aboard that vessel, my word is law. My word is unquestionable. I am Bad Flatha. I am captain. You do not argue with the captain. You do as you're told. I'll never tell you to do anything that isn't in your or our best interest. I'll never intentionally tell you to do anything harmful or dangerous aboard the ship, lest the situation calls for it. It's my responsibility we get to where we're going as whole as we can. You understand?
There is one voice that you and I should listen to above even your own, he says, holding the heart up.
Otherwise, the terms you suggest are quite agreeable.
I know many songs, but not the one from that heart yet. And I hope, board the ship, I have time to learn it.
You can issue whatever orders you want. In combat, you'll get total agreement. When the ship's in danger, you'll get total agreement. But I choose how I spend my time.
Everyone works together. Everyone has a job aboard. Long as you're not wasting everyone's time, I don't have a problem with that.
No, I won't.
And so it turns out, somewhere inside that boy, there is a captain.
Darlu puffs out his chest and looks real proud of himself.
Then I vow to you my spear, my service, and my honor.
He says, taking a knee, core under one arm, spear across his lap.
Food and blood, or sit by a fire.
I willingly put myself in your care.
Calling over. Lita, you catch that?
Yeah, yeah. If the money abides, the goblins will ride.
Well, with that, let's touch deck.
I cannot wait to explore the heavens with you and guide the core.
He says, moving forward even ahead of you, kind of with a jaunty step. Boldly rides the wielder knight into the sacred weald,
guardian of nature's realm with mighty spear and shield. Glory and honor and might, and always knowing what's wrong from right, it's the wielder knight.
I like that guy.
You explore the ship. Nestled into the superstructure is a door which leads down a small stair to what can be generously called a galley. It is four seats and a table roughly the size of a matchbook, and a kitchen that, well, is functionally a cutting board that has been screwed into a wall. To either side and back, there are hallways which lead to crew quarters. There are four quarters available, and then at the far end, there is the captain's quarters. The center of the ship opens up to reveal the hold. At the rear of the hold, beneath the galley, is the core room. Currently, completely empty.
Get to finding your rooms. I think you know which one's mine.
He sits down on the cutting board.
Wrong. Wrong.
I am not used to having some kind of enclosure to hide me from the rest of the world.
Think of it less as a spot to hide you from the world, and more of a spot where you can grow and flourish in your own company.
Why do you get the big room?
Because I'm the captain.
Yeah, but I need a workshop.
You'll have one.
He doesn't care about privacy. Why don't you stay with the core?
This sounds like the place I am destined to stay, yes.
Plus any excess energy that feeds off he can pick up. That kind of stuff can mess with the dream.
I understand that. You'll still need a place to put your stuff, your things, something important to you.
Core room's big. Hold's right there. Look, you buy yourself an extra room. You can rent it out or you can get yourself some extra crew. You don't mind.
You provide a fine point. Lita, looks like you have a workshop.
All right. Foe has a point, though. If we take on some tourists, we can charge them money and, well, if things get tough, we can eat them.
Ether B&B.
As she's saying that, Foe is tapping his nose.
And as for my belongings, he says, holding up a spear and a shield. I won't tell you where I hide the javelins.
Well, if we have any scrap metal lying around, I need it.
We don't.
It's gonna make this harder.
Needs a strong word for arts and crafts.
Hey, this ship is made of wood, and there are all sorts of structural points that need to be reinforced in case we want to ram something. In case we have to ram something.
He sticks his knife into the wood and pulls it out, and sap starts to drip out.
You stabbed my ship!
This is living wood. It's also nitrocilli wood. You got nothing to worry about for structure.
As the knife draws out and the explanation is given, Troth walks over and holds his hand up to it and using druid craft closes the wound.
There, there.
She'll suffer worse than that.
I'm sure.
Wait, so how are we supposed to hang things on the walls?
You can stab my ship. Maybe you can ask it nicely to grow a thorn. I do have a crafting job for you. I'd like you to build a sleeping bowl for Gidgel. I assume you melt?
I strive to keep my form at all times until the decade is over.
He'll need a sleeping bowl in about 10 years. You got a time limit.
Just tell me the specs and, well, I'll need a stump, a metal ring, and a femur, but...
Well, if I may, it is very culturally and spiritually important that I construct my own bowl. The room in which I entomb myself during the molten season defines what I will be for the next decade. So while I appreciate the friendly jesting, I will take care of myself.
Fair enough. I'll go ahead and point my friendly jest at the others. Be honest, the femur was for gnawing, wasn't it?
No, you animal, it's for dishing.
Ah, a spoon.
Don't eat our friends.
A straw.
The gnawing is a bonus.
Ha, femur, bonus.
It wasn't a joke.
Foe steps up and says, "These Nigel Silly woven ships, they can't fly fast without a call, which means we're looking at about a week before we can get to any of these places on this list. Keep that in mind."
Sailing's never fast. I appreciate the heads up.
You'll be surprised.
And once we find a proper Raikun, you will too.
And can you not hear it? He leans down and puts his head against the side of the core pulsing with pink energy. She purrs. I think she knows she's home.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy, like me, just like you. One day, that boy was playing with his friends when he saw a fair maiden crying far afield.
How far?
Out in the fog.
She was in a dream?
Yes, she was. There in the dream she wept, crying to a mother who could not hear her.
I don't like this story, Mummy.
But the boy could hear her. Yes, he could.
Don't go.
He was a brave boy and could not stand to see a fair maiden weep.
Please don't go.
But he did go. Have you heard this story before? Off he strode into the fog of dream, bold as can be. But as he neared the fair maiden, what did he see?
Her eyes.
Ah, yes. The eyes.
His mother's eyes.
How did you get my mummy's eyes? The boy asked.
Because she was the first to find me.
And a music box began to play. Once upon a time, there was a little boy,
like me,
just like you. One day, that boy was playing with his friends when he saw a fair maiden crying.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
All I Want for Christmas is LUQ. Merry Christmas, cuties. Each and every one of you is a gift, and it means the world to have you here with us. I imagine not many of you are cracking into this episode on its day of release, and for those of you who are, I'm glad we made it into your holiday festivities. If it weren't for the fact that this is my first chapter of the season, I probably would have done a Christmas-themed one. Hopefully next year, we can come in with some holiday cheer. In general, if you're wondering what to get us for Christmas, the answer is always the same. There's no gift like a living wage. Consider donating to the Patreon. It helps us keep the lights on and maintain some amount of motivation after doing this for, Christ, almost 6 years. But as I sit here on Christmas morning, putting the episode together, slightly hungover from Christmas Eve drinks and staring down the barrel of my lovely mother, I realize that money or no, holiday or no, listener or no, we ain't quit. I'm in this, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Thank you for listening. Happy holidays, and we wish you luck.
Everyone's horny for vampires. This is old news. From the earliest days of the hairless Nosferatu sneak-stepping into some Angelou's boudoir, people got excited about the idea of fucking dead bat people. And now vampires are at the cutting edge of fashion and passion, with pin-up calendars, body pillows, scented bath salts, and more. So let's face it. Most of you want vampiric stuff close to your genitals. Well, now you can be hip-deep in vampiric fashion 24 hours a day. With Fruit of the Tomb Undead underwear. Silky black velvet with red lacing, frilly thigh cuffs, and little flappy butt capes. Now your pelvis can cosplay as Dracula while you toil away at work, and no one is the wiser. For other sexy undergarment options, check out Yes, Mummy Zaddy, Bite Me Zombies, Ride in the Ghoulies, and Lich from a Rose. It's wrong and also illegal to do stuff with dead things, but if you put enough magical fantasy on it, I guess it's pretty cool. Fruit of the Tomb Undead Underwear. Keep your secret desires close to your heart, and even closer to your...
As you rise from the denser pocket of atmosphere surrounding Nidrosil, you enter into the ether current. Across the entirety of the shattered world, there is a plane of gravitational stability. Within this plane, ships can travel fairly easily. It is called the Ether Sea. Every meter you move above or below this Ether Sea, your ship becomes increasingly unstable. More powerful ships with greater unity with their core are capable of sustaining this for considerable periods of time. But for the most part, the distant stars that dance above you are islands that will never be seen. You enter a pocket of moist air as you exit Nidrosil. These rains bring much-needed water to the islands that exist on this plane. Peppered throughout your exit trajectory are hundreds of smaller islands, carrying saplings of great trees that will one day drift out into the distance, hopefully repopulating and reseeding worlds that have been stripped of their life by the shattering. The great undertaking of the Foresowers.
I never thought I would see them with my own eyes.
They're with you. I've heard of these, but I've never seen them. And frankly, it's stunning.
Whatever barren land mass they collide with will be blessed with the seeds of Nidrosil and flourish with new life thanks to their magic.
Yeah, but don't get too close to them. They wield death as well as they wield life. These things got their own natural defense systems.
against those who wish them harm.
Not I, Steele. Not I.
This is good to know.
The forests back home are very much the same. Respect the trees or else they'll fuck you right up.
But this, he says, looking past the trees into this endless dark void of stars and swirling energy,
is beautiful. Ah, I thought the horizons and the trees of my home were as picturesque as possible, but look at it! He says, echoing his voice out as far as he can. I could gaze into this for all time.
I get bored after a week.
That one there, does it have a name? He says, points to a random star.
That is Siobhan.
And that one?
Dennis.
This will not stop anytime soon.
Darlu will not get bored of this after a week and continue to give just points names.
I thought you said that one was Siobhan.
She moved.
She's going through something.
You know, Troth, you're a pretty weird guy, but you're right. There's no place like the open ether.
Is this where you are from?
Nah, I come from a place called the Midden. It's beautiful, just rolling dunes of gorgeous junk. And when the sun hits it in the morning, oh, you can smell it from nearby islands.
Oh, when the winds hit the Diaper Gorge just right.
Never say Diaper Gorge on my ship again. First rule.
Do you mean gorge as in valley or to consume beyond measure?
Both are wrong.
Diaper Gorge.
Stop!
I'm fucking with you, Duchess.
For a minute, I thought you were talking about the cleft, but it's a little different than that.
Fuck your planetoid with a butt crack.
Where else are you going to put the exhaust?
Is this the only speed this chariot is capable of?
For now, we go wind speed. Wind speed sometimes is proper unimpressive. But I'll tell you what, getting those ropes and riggings, lower the sails, we'll go a bit faster.
I've never been on a ship powered by wind. Ours use fire.
You're welcome to pull any of those ropes you want. I can't climb my hands.
Right. I didn't think putting you up there was a good idea.
Thank you. He pats his skeletal foot.
You are a talented swabby, though. Find him up.
He waves his hand at the ground, and a portion of the ground just cleans itself.
Cheater.
I've been stuck in an astral desert this entire time. I gotta use a dream a bit.
These ropes over here, Troth says, moving forward, just grabbing some and starting to pull the knots and manipulate them in a very unprofessional manner.
No, not that. Lita, help.
No worries. I got him. Hey, Troth. Not quite like you're doing. I think you gotta hold these like this and these like this. And then we gotta make them flap faster.
No. Gidril, take the wheel. No, take
like
it from
a,
my
like
hands.
It's like a bird.
Captain. If I may have a moment of your time.
So long as you're willing to help me untangle what they tangle, fine.
Yeah, Lita and Troth are both just like covered in ropes trying to untangle each other like this. I'm like a snake, yes?
I think so. I've never dealt with wind power before.
This is a comedic length of rope.
You and I are really going to break wind.
The purpose of this conversation is to help.
Oh, thank the gods. All right. What do you need?
Gidgel is going to gesture below deck, almost in the direction of the captain's quarters.
We can go down there. You can head in. Captain's quarters is pretty bare. Haven't had time to decorate yet.
It is what it represents, not what is contained within.
Oh, yeah, I should hope so. Eventually, it'll be a proper trophy room.
Now, previously, you asked to speak without being judged. And so I offer the same for myself. May I do as I did in Tabiseyadu and advise?
I will need someone with proper foresight and delicate understanding, even if that's not sailing skill. I'll tell you what.
I mean in this moment.
Ah, right. Yes, of course.
Yes. Already, your first few orders on this ship have already been met with objection or indifference. It is clear that there are things that each of us do not know about each other. It is clear that you do not as well. They offer their knowledge to correct your ignorance. This implies that they have something over you. The sharing of this knowledge should be a task given by you if you are to be a leader.
Usually, glibness like this would be met with lashing you to the post, leaving you there for a few days. But there are two problems with that. One, I don't think I could proper tie you down. And two, smooth and soft as you are, you got some fine points.
That must be one of my favorite poetic compliments I've ever received.
I appreciate you taking me aside before saying these. And if you're to be advisor, how do you suggest I go about letting them lead themselves by the nose?
While it is natural that we all want to share what we know, simply announcing that a forum has begun implies that every knowledge shared is with your permission. Ask them to present what they know. Their voices must be heard. This is not a dictatorship. But it must be done with your purpose.
Suppose we have to figure out what kind of ship it is then. Right, up to the deck.
Aye, Captain.
When you come back up, you see that all of the surface of the deck has been immaculately cleaned using prestidigitation. And right now, Foe is pulling a rope, the other side of which is attached to Lita, who is periodically being lifted so that they can access other things on the ship.
See, I like that kind of coordination. I like that kind of mutual benefit there.
Now kick off against the mast, see if you can get some real spin.
Hey, lower! I said lower!
All right.
Tension all ya.
Foe, let's go with the rope.
Another pile of ropes kind of rises up, all wound around a trough, like a kind of mummification of rope.
I have organized the twines, Captain.
Ah, my ass!
At least the sail's down. Look, if we're to be cohabitating here for a while, working together, going from place to place, there's things I need to know about you. About who you are, about where you're from, about what you're good at, about what you want. We got a week's time, far as I've been told. That's plenty of opportunities for me to understand who you are. Once I know that, we'll know your role on the ship and your role in each other's lives just a little easier. You are, of course, welcome to say these things in front of others. But for the next several days, lest I say so otherwise, the Badflath's door is open, should you want to say them privately. First things first, though, since we're all here, I need favorite colors.
Foe thumbs the lapel of his yellow coat.
Ah, good'un.
I enjoy the molten yellow and black, though it is a color I cannot wear.
Well, I'd call you more of a spring.
I don't mean because it clashes, but just that glowing molten rock will kill me.
Oh, right.
I mean, if you're a spring, little know what to do with you.
Well, my favorite color is one that I invented called peen.
It's a rusty yellow.
It's a combination of pink and yellow green.
Peen? Not in a hurry to find that paint.
How could one choose a single shade from the rich tapestry that nature offers you? It's brown.
Mine's a nice, rich, proper blue. Color of open skies, waiting to find what you need. Now that we know a little more about each other, I have some time to dedicate teaching you how to rig properly, should you be willing to learn.
That's my cue.
Foe begins to kind of limp towards the cabin.
I knew nothing of boats, but would love to learn.
Teach me the language of your tangling cords, Captain.
Well, I guess if you tell me everything you know, which shouldn't be long, I can make it better. You're up, bad flappa.
Wrong name, long day. Daralu, or Bad Flappa Noranan, will take the rest of the day teaching the lot of them the basics of the rigging, how to raise and lower the sail so we can try to make good time.
The sounds of joy and frustration, teaching and learning, echo throughout the considerably empty ship. So much so that none of you hear the wincing and sucking of air through gritted teeth as Foe changes the bandages on his burning curse.
Sir Benelier of Aldersholm, sworn guardian of the Cobalt Crown, known in both tavern and temple across the land as a man of honor and pride. It is said that the bravest choice Sir Benelier was ever faced with was when the sky was robbed of its blue and the burning red day stars illuminated new chaos into his home. To find the source of the land's corruption, he had to steel himself and step foot into a portal of darkness, into the unknown. It is not the passion for one's home or longing for that which is right that defines bravery, but the unknown itself. Today I face my own unknown. I have taken charge of the heart, the great light from the sky that resonates deep in my soul, and I find myself escorting it onto a flying ship, crewed by outsiders. All of them strange, and to my eye, unnatural in their own way. But if there is one thing I have learned in my years protecting the domains of the land, it is that what seems unnatural to me may be where nature is thriving the most, with the perfect spark of chaos that keeps ducks flying north, ensures that water runs downhill until it is time to go up, and that keeps claws sharp with the dream of never cutting. And to the sky so shall I soar, as I vow to carry the honor of my homeland with me and devote my life to protecting the heart. Wherever the aether winds will take it, I will consider it an honor to get to know these strange outsiders as they too ride with me into the unknown.
We got a boat. We have got a boat. We got a boat.
I want to see Goblin Peen.
Lots of websites for that.
No.
See, no, you can find goblins with big asses. The goblin peen is huge asses.
Actually, I don't know if our eyes can see the shade. You'll need like those glasses they give to the colorblind to see a color first. Yeah. They cry.
I was going to say it was like a copyrighted color like that super Midnight Black the Bean Guy tried to do.
Midnight Black the Bean Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Art history with no actual definition.
Art mystery.
Copyright this color.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
You can do it. It's wild.
Here's a list of the words I have trademarked.
Peen.
I can't remember. Did we have any new things we were doing for outros?
Ooh,
or just...
I thought about one.
Oh.
Is there a quote that would be like a good band or album name that we have?
Actually, when you say that, which is a very funny idea, we were also talking about having very like quotey names for the episodes, like something that happened in the episode that is a striking title for the episode.
Yeah. Mm.
So this would be a great time for us to remind each other. We can like write them down. It's like, was there a super
These
line
are really
drop?
Good idea.
Two things I'd like to do. At the end of every episode, we'll talk about who's going to do the outro talk and what's a good quote for the line for the episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, I think this one's Troth. Makes the most sense to me. Just being so like, I'm brand new. What is all of this?
Yeah. I was going to say Troth or Daralu, because like, here's a new ship. What are we going to do? That kind of thing. But I like Troth a lot more. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, especially since the first half is still on Nidrasil.
Yeah.
The color of peen.
The color peen is
the
definitely...
The new Ed Sheeran album.
It's a color I invented.
I don't know why, but that guy gives me goblin vibes.
Let's touch deck. is up there too.
That's very good.
But that's just my suggestion because we're like, sure. That seems like a very musical prior radio kind of game.
Yeah. No, Let's Touch Deck is a great album name. Mm. Great album name.
The Color Peen also.
The Color Peen. That's the band.
That's very Kenny G. Like
something with Elder Night.
Yeah. Our three quarters cover band.
Oh, that's not
Fuck
bad.
Off.
That's not bad. Three band members play a beloved band song and the other one just improvises bullshit.
That's a whole show.
That's non-consensual jazz.
But still favorite moment of the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Boy. I mean, the scene of us making just a hot mess of the ship. Blowing ropes everywhere.
I like how they go to a captain and go, yeah, all right, here are your sailors. None of them are sailors. Figure it out.
That's what happens when you show up and you're like, I already have a boat. And they're like, great, then you don't need a crew.
Cool. Fuck you.
I am also immediately liking the connection between Darulu and Gigil with just like, you know, young and ambitious, but old and sage and wanting to see them succeed, so offering them wisdom.
My favy Momo. Wow.
You usually pick whenever I sing, fair, so I assume you would do that.
For the record, Lita does actually have proficiency in space vehicles.
Oh, sick.
There we go.
Yeah, you just don't like wood.
Yeah, it's a dumb way to make a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's pencil versus pen.
God damn it. I have proficiency land vehicles.
Dang.
Because I figured nobody else would have grabbed it.
No, that's
we just
great.
Need to slap some wheels on this thing and suddenly you get a +2.
Bingo.
I really liked asking for favorite colors. And then, of course, like, oh, Dana, so good.
I invented Peen.
It's such a gross sounding color name.
Yeah, I mean, that's Lita.
Yeah.
So bug.
Other than the fantastic singing by Law, I would say actually a little self-aggrandizing, but I loved the, what letter comes after H? I, by agreeing to this.
That was very funny. That was very funny. And
damn
I liked
it, Mr. Golden.
What's the other continent? I'm like, wait, isn't this guy from Nod? Shouldn't he know it? Oh, it's a bit.
When it first happened, I thought it was like one of those like password protection, like make sure you're actually you.
The contract has a CAPTCHA.
Yeah, a CAPTCHA, exactly.
Captain Cha.
Because there could be like fucking doppelgangers and shit out in the void.
I love that.
Shit out in the void. I'm a black hole shitting into the void. Yeah.
My favorite moment also has to go to Lita, and it's when she just fucking starfished on the deck of the ship. Description was excellent, and I loved it.
Thank you all for coming. And coming and coming.
Buckets.
Out of your butts.
This is really shaping up to be a fantastic season, and I'm excited to see the rest of it play out. And rather than drag you through a long outgoing outro spiel, I'm just going to go ahead and say, we wish you luck. No, wait. First, I'm going to say thank you to Bree Golden,
yes,
our map maker. Thank you to Sam Hediger, Ediger. And thank you, the audience.
For kissing us on the mouth.
Yeah.
With your Patreon support.
And I say to myself, preparing for this next episode, which I have not planned enough for, I wish me luck.